Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. I pray that you are well and that the Lord is keeping and sustaining and watching over your life. We carry on with our study in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And yesterday we had started to look at Paul speaking of the reconciliation and where he's calling all men to be reconciled back to God. You know, in understanding of the resurrection, he is very keen that to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. And Paul encourages the church that they must know that in this life, we are here for a moment. But there is a place that we are going to, and that is to be with the Lord. And in fact, even for him, there many times he makes a comparison where he says that I am torn in between two, whether to be with you or to go and to be with the Lord, because to be with the Lord is even better. But he says, for your own good, I will choose to stay. And that is why we must never be discouraged when we think of death, as those who have died to Christ. Because he died, we died with him. We are convinced that if one died, all died. And the one that we believe that died, he did not stay dead. He resurrected. And he is alive today, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And we know that he too shall raise us. And the Bible tells us that we have an exchange, that, you know, that since he died, we too died, and since he resurrected, we too shall resurrect and are made alive, and we can partake of his nature, we can partake of his flesh, we can partake of his body, we can be united with him. That is why we become the body of Christ. We that have believed in his name, Jesus does not see us apart from him. In fact, when he addresses Saul, he says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He does not say, why do you persecute the church? Because Christ in the new covenant becomes the union of the body of believers and Christ himself, who is our head, and we are his body. We are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones, that practically in the spirit there is one. And he that is joined to the Spirit, to the Lord, is one spirit with him. There is that union that we have with Christ. And to that perfect man, when the Bible says he has appointed apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors for the equipping of the body, for the equipping of the saints, and to works of service, until we all grow into perfection, into the perfect man. That perfect man is the united body of Christ, the united church. Perfection, perfection, to be more like him, to be conformed more and more into his image, to be that bride that the Lord is coming for, perfected into one, the two becoming one, the church and Christ becoming one. That is the mystery that is symbolized too by marriage. And so Paul starts to tell us in verse 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Saying there's a time we used to know people after their flesh, after their humanity, after who they are, after, you know, their background, after their, you know, their evaluation of how rich they are or how poor they are, after what is happening with their lives, after their tribes. You know, we know men. We used to know men after their lineage, after their, you know, how they dress and all that. But Paul is saying, henceforth, now we know no man after the flesh. And that means that when you meet someone, if God can give you that discernment, you can know them by the Spirit. And he says, even though we have known Christ after the flesh, we now no longer regard him any longer. They used to know the Jesus of Nazareth, the one that walked with them, the carpenter's son, the one whose brothers and sisters were here with them. In fact, James, who is the real brother of Jesus, James and Jude, calls himself a servant of Jesus Christ. Jude comes and says, for me, I'm just the brother of James. This was one they grew up with, but they came to the realization that we can no longer know men after the flesh. I tell you, you that are born again, you that have given your life to Jesus, you are not just after the flesh. There is neither Jew or Gentile, male or female, Greek, rich or poor, free or slave, but we are all one in Christ. There is that unity into the perfect man that we are no longer known after the flesh. And learn to see people not after the flesh, but after who God has made them. After who God is working in them. Yes, they might have some mistakes, weaknesses here and there, as it is with every human being, but there is always something that God has placed in each and every man that has been called according to his purpose, that if you honor, you shall receive that is which is in that person. That's why the Bible says, if any man receives a prophet, as a prophet, you shall receive a prophet's reward. What is a prophet's reward? His word comes to pass. If any man receives a man as a righteous man, you shall get the righteous man's reward. What is the righteous man's reward? The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. How you receive someone determines what you receive from them. If you receive them after the flesh and you despise them, then you will miss out of the blessings of the gateways. You know, there are men that are resources. There are men that are sources. There are men that are gates. There are men that are portals by which God ushers you into new levels, midwives. Never look at the skin color of someone. Never look at their beauty or their appearance. Never look at their height. Never look at their dressing. But try to see this man not after the flesh, but after the spirit that God has made him to be. And that's why the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man, there is no limitation to being in Christ. There is no limitation to the man that Christ accepts. It is to the man that comes back and says, Lord, here I am, use me. Here I am, fill me. If any man has given his life to Jesus, has turned to the Lord, has turned to the Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. I'm assuring you that Paul struggled with his words. You can imagine he's trying to wonder, how can I describe this being that has been made? How can I describe this Son of God? How can I describe this human being that has been regenerated, that has been received the very Spirit of God, that has received the very nature, the divine attributes of God, that has been empowered by something from heaven, that has been created anew in the image and likeness of God? How can I describe this man? Is he a human being? No, he is bigger than a human being. Is he just an ordinary man? No, he's bigger than an ordinary man. He is a born-again creation. He is a new creature. God made the first man, Adam, earthly, man of the dust. But he created a new man. He made a new man, the heavenly man, Christ, the heavenly man. And if any man be in Christ, he is transformed, he is transfigured into this image of the heavenly man. And this heavenly man walking on the earth is the new creation that the Bible has been saying, that creation has been groaning in eager expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God, for the revelation of the sons of God. Son of God is a title that means man empowered by the Spirit of God, man filled by the Spirit of God working through a man. This is the new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, the new has come. That means when you behold, when you see, you will see that that addiction died. Those old man, that old nature died. It was buried. It was crucified on the cross. It was put to death. And by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the flesh. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. I tell you, when you start to live in this way, then you know that you cannot be in chains anymore. You are a new creation. You are a born-again being. You are created in the image of the Son of God. You are His brother, a co-heir with God, a son of God. And that's what the Bible says. All things have passed away. And behold, all things are new. There's a new mind. There's a new heart. There's a new spirit. There's a new understanding. There's new direction. There's new favor. There's new clarity. When you are in Christ, you are made anew. The Bible says, now all things are of God. You know, when these new things come, it's not no longer of man, but it is of God. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. It started with God. He made man in His image and likeness. Man by sin was set apart and separated. But now through Jesus, God comes and reconciles all things back to Himself. We go back to everything of us becomes of God. We belong to Him. He belongs to us. And He has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. When you see your friends, when you see your loved ones, when you see your people living in death, living in sin, lost in their own ways. Does it break your heart that you cry out to God and say, God, even this one, can he be brought back? Can he be reconciled to you? Yes. Yes. Go back to your Father. By authority, we speak, we call forth those that are lost. We call forth our loved ones. We call forth those on the streets. We call forth nations to be reconciled back to God. There are nations that were dedicated to Jesus that now are lost. We can call them back forth. We can call them back forth. Call back forth all things back to God. This is the ministry of reconciliation. That we are calling men back to God. And we are telling them, verse 19, that is, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing, that means not counting their trespasses to them, and has committed us the word of reconciliation. It's not just a ministry of reconciliation. It is a word of reconciliation. That word says God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself and is not counting men's sins against them. He is not counting. You know, there is a blessedness of the one to whom God does not count, impute sin against, but He imputes righteousness. Oh, men will count your sins. You will go and be judged. But when you come to Christ, God counts His righteousness. He pours His righteousness upon you. In fact, He makes it overflow that when we look at your bank account, at your credit account in heaven, it is full of righteousness. This is the righteousness that God gives when we turn to Christ, that we are no longer counted sinners, but we are made the righteousness of God. The Bible says this is a ministry that God has given us. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Speak this word, that world, hear the word of God. God is no longer counting your trespasses against you. God does not want to count your trespasses against you. There is a place that you can come in Christ where your sins will not be counted against you. This is a place where you are forgiven. This is the place where you are made a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, behold, the new has come. Now then, the Bible says, we are ambassadors of Christ. Oh, I tell you, that's a powerful word. You are a heavenly citizen experiencing on the earth, a sojourner on the earth. You are conversations. Your conversations are heavenly. They are above. They're not of the earth. Your conversations are from heaven, from the man above. Your conversations are from heaven, heavenly citizens. On the earth, you are ambassadors. Oh, you have every authority, every right, every kingdom direction, every kingdom discipline. Your provision is from heaven. Know who you are, as though God was pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. God made Christ, who knew no sin, not just to be a sin offering, to be sin itself. It doesn't matter the level of your sin. When you come to Christ, when you're reconciled to him, when you truly acknowledge what he has done, there is an exchange. The one that was righteous, who knew no sin, took on sin, became sin, that we who have known sin, we who sin, can exchange and become the righteousness of God. And that is why the Bible says that he that is born again cannot continue to sin, because his seed, his divine essence of life, his sperm, his principle of life, God's seed remains in him. And he cannot continue to sin. 1 John 3, he that is born of God. And this is the very reason why the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I tell you, when you know what Jesus came to do, you know that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to preach deliverance to the captives, to set those, open the eyes of the blind, and to declare the year of the Lord's favor. And finally, he will come as a judge, to judge those that have accepted him or those that rejected him. Be reconciled back to God. God is not one that counts our sins against us. If he were to do so, who will stand? But he is one that pours out his righteousness upon us. He imputes righteousness upon us. This is the righteousness that is by faith, not by works, from first to last. A new and living way opened by the cutting of his body, that we can come to his presence boldly, that we may receive mercy and grace for our time of need. Receive the refreshing of the Lord. This is the word of reconciliation. God cries out, "Be reconciled to God." God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. This is the message of the grace of God. Receive it, believe it, live it. You become then a son of God. Father, I thank you for your word that has come forth in simplicity, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this power is available this morning for my brother, my sister, that wants to make this confession, to become a new creation. All things have passed away, and all things are new. In you there is forgiveness. In you there is mercy. In you there is life. Father, may your life work in us. May revelation heat our spirits. May revelation come to our members. May we understand. May we receive the presence, the Spirit of God. I honor, I exalt you, I magnify you, Lord. Thank you for healings. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for your presence, O God. I exalt you and I magnify you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Bye-bye.